I'm Jessica Randolph, and welcome to the How to Buy a House podcast, where we empower you to invest in real estate and start building wealth for yourself. It's the biggest purchase of your life, and we're going to teach you how to do it right.
Your host, Jessica Randolph, is an HGTV designer, a top realtor for over 10 years, winner of the National Association of Realtors 30 Under 30 Award, Rookie of the Year, number 11 realtor on social media in Tennessee, and most importantly, the founder of the How to Buy a House class. Jessica, take it away.
You guys, I don't even know how to introduce this person because they are so special to me, but today you are in for a giant treat. You are going to get to hear from one of the most incredible women I've ever met, and I truly feel honored that I even get to know and call my friend. So without further ado, you're going to get to hear from Courtney Wilson today. Courtney Wilson is a multi-talented, proud Canadian, an entrepreneur, a singer, and a TV personality residing here in Nashville. She gained recognition as the co-host and lead designer on HGTV's hit TV show, Masters of Flip, and has since starred in her own show, Making It Home. She's also an award-winning realtor, author, and the founder of Court & Co., a stylish and affordable product line available across Canada. And she's also just amazing. She's one of the most generous people I've ever met. She let me live in her house when I had nowhere to go. I'll have to tell you about that some other time. But Courtney is with us today, and I cannot wait for you to hear from her and learn from her. She is just incredible. She is such a genius when it comes to real estate. And really, real estate has fueled her life. So we're going to get into her story, kind of talk about real estate and how it kind of brought her to where she is now. And you'll get to hear a little bit about her journey through real estate and through being on HGTV. And Courtney and I got to star on Masters of Flip together in 2015, 2016, and 2017. So that is how I got to know Courtney. We were realtors together and then became friends. And I'm so happy that she said yes to being on today's episode. So without further ado, let's get into it. Oh my gosh, Courtney Wilson, I am like, you're one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, but also I'm like getting starstruck by even just looking at your beautiful face this morning.
Right.
You look like a sunflower. You just like appear and immediately everyone's happy. Like, that's just you.
Well, that is very, very sweet. Likewise. And I'm so happy that you asked me to be on your podcast. I'm so proud of you, first of all. I don't want to sound like a grandmother here because I'm not. But I've watched you grow over the last, 10 years. We kind of started in real estate together.
Yeah.
And I'm just so proud of you as a human being, as a mother, as a philanthropist. I'm really just so proud to be your friend.
Well, that goes both ways. And you seriously are like my inspiration for everything in my life. Let's go back to the very beginning and like tell us how your career has like gone from, I know you were starting in music, like to where it is now. Like give us like a glimpse of that journey.
Well, the shorter version, because I'm not going to go back to like the very beginning, but I was born in Canada. I was raised in Canada, and I always knew that I wanted to be a country music artist. So at 18, I picked up and left, and I think you would refer to me as one of those illegal aliens. Oh my gosh. I came across the border for a wee vacation. And landed myself a record deal, which also landed me a visa. So I applied for a visa and I got a record deal and a production deal and a publishing deal with Reba McEntire and Disney.
Holy crap.
Dreams change and evolve based on growth. And my whole life has been about growth in every aspect of my life. And I've never really been afraid to pivot. And so music brought many challenges and many really, really cool things, like a stint on ABC's One Life to Live. I got to tour, do some really, really cool things. Fun fact, I played the World Trade Center. I was the last act to ever play the World Trade Center with Rascal Flatts 5 days before the towers went down.
What?
I also wanted to have a family. Mm-hmm. And with a family, as you know, comes bills. And so I had to pivot again. And it was just a place where I was like, I want more. I want to travel. I want money. And I didn't think money, you know, I grew up with not a whole lot of money. And I didn't grow up knowing that real estate was really the key to wealth, honestly. I didn't grow up, even though my parents were wise in their decisions with their own houses, selling and buying. I bought my first place at 20 years old. With my record advance, yes. And it was maybe the best thing that I ever did. I didn't have a ton of money, but I had enough money for a down payment. And everybody, well, not everybody knows. Hopefully the people listening know that that is you know, when you buy your first place is really when you don't have to put as much down. It's the one time in your life where you're not expected to put as much down if you qualify for a lower amount. And I took advantage of that.
Wow.
And that ultimately is what got me started in real estate, and knowing that, that, you know, while I was paying a mortgage, I was making two or three times that every month on what I call the dirt. So the ground going up, because we don't have any more dirt. I was able to sell that and put a bigger down payment on the next house. And so I already kind of had my legs and, you know, my, you know, I was swimming in the shallow end of real estate from a really early young woman. And then when I decided to pivot, I was like, do I want to go back to school? And in the state of Tennessee, I didn't have to go back to school for that long to get my real estate license. And so I got my real estate license. And, you know, I think this is really important. You know, always when I tell this story is I cried when I got my license. What? I don't know about you. I cried. I cried every day on the way to the course. I cried every day on the way back from the course.
Were you crying tears of joy?
No, I was not. I was crying because I was taking a massive pivot. And, you know, I've always raised my kids. God, I'm going to be the depressing guest that you've had.
You are the least depressing guest. That is for certain.
But I always say to my kids, you know, I grew up with my mom being the eternal optimist. And with that came from, you can do anything you want. You can have anything you want. And I haven't raised my kids that way. I've raised my kids with the sentiment of, you can't have it all at once. You can have it all in your lifetime, but you can't have it all at once. You can't be a stay-at-home mom and go and pursue your dreams outside of the home. You can't do both of those things.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
be a, you know, a person, a really, really great mom who pursues their dreams. And so in that moment, I had to decide, okay, do I want to pursue my dreams of music for a little bit longer and be poor, which totally fine, admirable, did that for a long time. Mm-hmm. Or was I ready to pivot and be able to check some of the other boxes in my life? Travel was a really big one. Travel is very key for me in raising kids. Mm-hmm. And so I got my license, but I was really sad about it for a while. And I had to push through that.
And probably because you felt like you were putting the music on the shelf. Like,
well, exactly. I was giving up one of my dreams for another.
Right. Right. Which is like, you have to mourn that a little bit. Like, okay, this is not what I'm pursuing right now, even though I love it so much.
I'm a feeler girl. So I was feeling all the emotions. Yeah. And you know what? I'm not mad about it, because while I was feeling, I was able to deal with those things, those real things of giving up one dream for another.
Yeah.
But you know, I found so much joy in taking what I didn't know I had, which was expertise in real estate. I didn't even know that I had it. I came from a place of a young person who had already invested in real estate, and I didn't realize how valuable that piece was to helping other people get started on their real estate journey, whether that was an investment, first-time home buyer, whatever it was. And watching them, or them listening to my story, recognizing that that actually changed my life, right? And it changed the trajectory of my life in a lot of ways, seemed to be inspiring for them. And I was all too happy to be a part of their story as well, as a realtor.
Well, that's why we created this podcast, is because for me too, when we bought our first house, Josh and I, we didn't realize what an open door that was. Like, we didn't realize that was going to be the key, like you said, to wealth for us, and really like establish us as a family, and like start actually being able to save and using that house to Airbnb or to rent it for a few months while we're gone, and just like starting to create some cash flow. And so anyways, that's why this podcast exists, is because anybody can really start somewhere, but a lot of times it's just they need that courage. And if they don't have a great realtor like you to be like, you can do this, like I did this, you can do this, and give you the courage, it can be really scary. And you're like, okay, I'm about to use everything in my bank account towards this house that has issues. Like, how do I know if I'm making the right decision? It's scary.
So true. But the fear of the unknown is what stops a lot of people from pursuing life, things in their life.
So true.
So, you know, I once had a first-time home buyer. She was renting from me. And she had rented from me for a while. And so one day I went, because there was an issue at the place, and we went to fix it. And we started having this conversation. She goes, well, I said, girl, you should buy a house. She goes, well, I thought about it. My mom's a realtor in another state and yada, yada, yada. I just, you know, I don't really want to have those like restraints on me. And I said, okay. She goes, because I might go move to California and be an artist. I said, okay, well, hypothetical situation. You bought something here today and you decided tomorrow you wanted to move. Why do you have to sell? Why can't you rent it? Why can't you let the renter pay down your mortgage and then some? Which gives you more options as an artist to live your life out in LA. She goes, Courtney, every member of my family is basically in real estate and construction, mortgage broker, she goes, you name it, and nobody has put it to me that way. And the reason I put it to her that way is because nobody had put it to me that way, right? Growing up, I wish somebody had said, the first thing that you need to do in your 20s is buy a freaking house. You can thank me later. I wish somebody had said that to me, but nobody did. You know, in fact, the sentiment was, well, you're pursuing your dreams. You don't want to be tied down. Like real estate ties you down.
Right.
There are other people that own real estate all over the world. It doesn't seem to be tying them down. They're on a yacht somewhere enjoying
so
their life.
So true, Courtney. Yes.
So there you go. Buy a freaking house.
Oh my gosh. You literally, like, that is going to be the theme song to this new podcast is what you just said, because it's so true. Okay. So you bought your first house and then you went and you bought your next house. Tell us about once you got to like Stratton Avenue, which for those of you that don't know, Courtney and her family, they bought this house on Stratton Avenue, East Nashville. Maybe you don't want to say that you're on Stratton.
Well, you know, I was, as you were saying it, I was like, oh my gosh, but I'm not on Stratton anymore.
Right. Well, we can cut that off, actually.
No, go for it, girl. You know what? Now everybody will be super excited because we just said cut it out and we're not going to cut it out. But you're not going to tell them where I live now, okay?
Okay, we're going to keep rolling. Now she lives in a castle. No, yeah. The house on Stratton, which is the house that you let me live in, which was, I mean, one of the most beautiful houses to date that I've ever even seen in my life. But you just walk in and you just feel this like warmth and love, and every single room had so much personality, and you had all these amazing like historic elements that were true to the, you know, when the house was built. But then you had all these amazing like funky, trendy, awesome elements as well, like cool wallpaper and different types of stone and just your style in general. And what people don't see on the show is that this is also your life. Like you may, you know, update a house on TV and style it, but they don't also see that like this is also your life and this just flows out of you. Just like an artist, like this is also an expression of just like the artist that you are and your creative side. And I got to experience it, I think probably better than anybody else, because I got to like live in it and literally sleep in your bed and just everything. And I'm like, she is like just a genius when it comes to design. And so how did that come about? Like, were you just, again, like so creative and you just kind of like learned it as you went, but you also did it to make a profit. So I think what a lot of people do is they're designers, but they're not businesswomen. And the beauty of you is that you're both. Like you're an artist and you're a businesswoman and you're a designer. And how did that come about?
Well, full disclosure, I don't consider myself, though I have a title as designer because I've had a lot of shows on HGTV, I kind of fell into that out of a place where when we were flipping our first house years ago, I mean, my son Jet, who's about to be 19, was just born. He was 3 months old when we flipped our first house. Well, I didn't have any money for designer. Like that was the bottom line is because the businesswoman side of me really was taking over on that flip. And we were so careful. I was like, well, I'm just going to pick out the countertops, right? Like I'm just going to do this. And I'm not going to say I made all the great, you know, the best decisions, but I think nowadays there's so much information out there that we can kind of hold our own if we do our own research. I didn't go to school for it, and I have a lot of respect for designers who are true, you know, masterminds at their art. That's not me. I know what I like, I know what I feel, and I think, you know, what was most important to me in designing any house that I've ever designed is the feeling that I got, right? Like I didn't want to overwhelm anybody. I also wanted it to be unique. And I also wanted to be able to turn a profit, like you said. And so sometimes I'm not able to do everything that I want to do. And that's a decision that I have to make. And I actually think it's a really important thing for home buyers to know that, right? Mm-hmm. Like I've had people over invest in their houses, and that's not a terrible thing if you're going to stay there. It's not a terrible thing if you're not going to stay there. And you, that is the joy that comes out of it. Mm-hmm. But I often find that, there's a happier medium. If people are smart about it, so that they too, if they're not a designer, they can operate under the same pretense of like, I'm going to buy this house and I'm going to do the things that are going to make me money. And by the way, to all the people listening, there are things that you can do to make money. And in the moment, it feels like, I don't want to do those things. I don't want to overspend on my house, but I'll tell you where you're not overspending. Framing your artwork and buying furniture that you absolutely love, that fits the space, that might feel like, you know, an extravagance, will definitely make you money. Mm-hmm. Because people buy a lifestyle when they go into a house. And Jess, you know that when we walk into a house with somebody, I experimented with this one day. There was a house in Wedgwood, Houston, in a neighborhood in Nashville, and it was what's called an HPR, which is basically two houses, you know, butt up against each other, attached. This was attached HPR. They were identical units that mirrored one another. One of them was staged and one of them was not staged. I took them into they were both for sale. I took them into the unstaged unit first, and they didn't feel so much. By the way, the finishes were better in the unstaged.
Wow.
Yes. And I knew that going in because I'd seen them both online. So I was curious to see it in person. And then I took them to the staged house on the right. Mirror image, and they fell in love with it. They ended up buying the one on the right, by the way, the one that was staged. But all I kept thinking was, this is a great experiment because she bought the lifestyle. She bought the idea of her on the couch with the dog looking at the TV and the mantles dressed with candles.
Yep.
She didn't look at the tile that was likely less expensive on the fireplace, or the backsplash that didn't go all the way to the ceiling. Now, in the end, I did point those things out to her, right? Because that was my job.
Right.
When we were trying to decide which one, because the one that was staged was a little bit more money. Mm-hmm. But people will buy that lifestyle. So I think it's important for people to invest in their houses.
So true. And I feel like for what you do, and like so many houses that we did together on the show, is you really would create like a completely different lifestyle than what most people were used to. Like some of the houses that we worked on together, I would be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she's choosing that paint color. Or I can't believe she's going to do that on the cabinets, or, you know, these really funky accents you would do on the clawfoot tubs. Like there were so many things you did where to me, I would be afraid as a homeowner to do that to my actual house, but you did it. And then you really sold it with the furniture, with the drapes and the lifestyle of like, you can take risks. Like all of your house, if there was a vibe, it was like, take a risk. Like, live in a house that excites you, and you only have one life. You might as well live in a house that has yellow cabinets and purple wallpaper and writing in the tile in the bathroom. Like stuff like that was really exciting. I remember when we did that?
Well, it's a calculated risk. So you'll see that when I make risks or when I take risks, I might paint the cabinets yellow or the island yellow because I know that I can repaint the island yellow. I won't put yellow tile because I can't, you know, take the tile out without having to re-drywall and skim walls, and the tile mm-hmm. is super expensive. Mm-hmm. So you'll see that I make those riskier moves in areas where I feel like it's just paint or it's just wallpaper.
Right.
And that's another thing, you know, I think for people to realize when they're doing their own houses, you know, and they're trying to, they've moved in and they're like, where do I spend the money? It's okay to take some risks, but, you know, take them in places that, you know, where they can be removed. Do you want to have all white walls and a bright, you know, fuchsia sofa? Go for it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, we cover up the sofa.
So true.
You know, you can take risks and give your house personality without there really being a long-term effect.
Yeah. Man, I love that. Yeah, you gave me so much confidence. I was like, okay, I can pick things that I like, even if they're a little funky, and not be afraid if other people are going to like them. But most of the time, people like stuff that's exciting and
that's a little bit
more different. And
we're a little bored, right? So when you're going through, and you know, a lot of people are searching from their phones now for houses, and they're swiping through, people can get bored of the same thing over and over and over. And then all of a sudden, there's like, you know, a red sofa in the middle of the living room with like greenery, and the room comes to life.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, oh my God, this one.
Yeah.
You know, so I do that, and I know better.
It's so true.
But I get so excited when there's life in a room.
Yeah. Well, it's just another example of just who you are, is like the houses you create, like you're helping those people create this exciting, beautiful life and creating the atmosphere that they're going to live in and drink coffee in the morning. And that's also just who you are. You're like one of the most hospitable people I've ever met. And you just bring life to so many people. And you also do that through real estate. And I just love it so much. So are you still doing music, or are you just focused on real estate? And I know you're doing the show, which maybe you want to talk about or not, but.
Yeah. So I'm doing a show that's called Making It Home with Courtney and Kenny. And so it's also available on HGTV Canada, among probably 100 other countries, and then Hulu in the US. And we're off filming right now. We wrapped in the fall of last year, but we're going to start, we hope, we're waiting for a green light on this season later this year. And in the meantime, I'm working on my own stuff. I'm actually flipping a house right now. I'm getting married this summer. I'm a full-time realtor as well, and just as you are in Nashville. And I'm trying to just embrace life right now. Like, I've had a lot of challenges personally in my own personal life over the last couple of years post-divorce, which have been hard. And, you know, I think it's interesting because, I've heard you talk about this, but as a realtor, we have to be, you know, the people persons all the time.
All the time.
And, you know, as a realtor, we take that on and we kind of push our stuff aside for our clients. And I think one of the reasons that we do that is because no matter what we're going through, I know for me as a realtor, is I'm always so excited for somebody that's ready to take the plunge and invest. And because it's real estate has actually brought so much joy to my life. So, just starting to show houses again. Interest rates are coming down. I'm excited.
Yeah, I love it. Well, and I mean, you really are like starting a whole new chapter too. Like, you're in a new house, you're getting married. Like, so that's exciting. And yeah.
But
and
as far as music, I'm not really doing much music anymore. I do have a sweet little baby grand piano that stares at me every day calling my name.
Oh my God.
But funny though, I did incorporate music last year when the buyer's market was so crazy. I don't know if you saw the parody that we did on.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes. If this was a TV show, we would cut to it right now. This is where we would.
Yes, exactly. But we did a parody of Wilson Phillips' Hold On with my team. And in fact, somebody just sent it to me a few days ago, and we were laughing at ourselves. We're like, oh my gosh, that, you know, how? But so, and music kind of creeps in every once in a while.
Yeah. I love it so much. Well, and for those of you that don't know, Courtney's also, can I tell them that you might be starting a podcast as well?
I am starting a podcast as well.
Yes, Courtney's starting a podcast, y'all. And I know you guys have already enjoyed getting to know her and hearing just like her energy and her life. But Courtney also is just a wealth of knowledge. Like, I've just learned so much about your heart and like everything you have gone through is like all part of your story, and just like being open and sharing that with people. And I know you do that on social media too, but I feel like your podcast is going to be just such a really great platform for people to like really understand that, like, even in, you know, the TV world and like having a lot of attention for other people, like, you're also still just a person and going through something that they might be going through, and you can share your experience to hopefully help them through their experience. And so
amen to that. I think we're all, we will start shooting our podcast in a couple of months and it'll be out by the summer, but it's called The Shit Stick of Life. And, you know, it's a Southern saying. You know, a friend of mine, Teresa, would always say, oh my gosh, there's that shit stick of life. And the premise is really that, you know, we all get hit by that stick every once in a while, because that is life. That's the journey. The journey is surviving in some ways and then thriving by the lessons that we've learned. And so I've definitely gone through a lot of stuff, and I can't wait to talk about that, whether it's through personal stories, my stories, you know, our guests. But yeah, you'll definitely have to be on it.
Oh, I would love to. Yes. I can talk about all the sticks that I've been hit with for sure. Being hit with right now, being pregnant, and oh my gosh, just being a mom, I feel like you get a whole different set of sticks.
Yes.
Like a lot of people don't get to go through.
Yes, you wait.
I'm like, Charlie, don't grow up. Oh my gosh. Oh, you're going to have to teach me so much. But I'm so excited for that. It's going to be so great. Okay. I'm going to not take up too much more of your time, Court, because I know you're so busy. But, and I just like so appreciate everything you've already shared with us. But I'm going to ask you the question that I ask all of our guests.
Okay.
And it can be real estate related or not. But my question is always, if you could give one piece of advice to the listener listening to this on their journey in real estate, like to the first time home buyer, what would your advice be?
Well, it's simple. Buy a house today, whether the interest rate is high or low. If anybody who has ever purchased a house in your life, if they will all agree on one thing, it's that hindsight is 20/20, and everyone wishes they would have invested years prior. Because though real estate ebbs and flows and it does this, it kind of is like a wave up, right? Mm-hmm. You can see my hand right now if you're not watching. It's literally the hand, my hand's going up and down, but it's continually on an upward, you know, stretch, because yeah, we don't have any more land.
Right.
And so real estate, the one thing that has remained true is that real estate goes up.
Yep.
And it can single-handedly change your financial wealth and your future. And what I say about money, you know, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad many, many years ago, because when you don't grow up with money, you almost have this sentiment that money is bad, mm-hmm, right? Like there's like evil, money's evil.
Yeah.
Money is freedom. That's all it is. What you do with it down the line, that all has to do with you, whether it turns into love or evil. But money itself and wealth in real estate just allows you the freedom to make choices for you and your family and your loved ones down the road, whether that's borrowing the equity out to buy another house or borrowing the equity out to pay for college for somebody, borrowing, whatever it is. And I wish, even though I bought in my when I was 20 years old, I wish I bought when I was 18.
Yeah.
Because I would have made $100,000.
Yes.
So everybody who's been sitting, including, I mean, some of my clients, they sit and they're like, oh, I'm just not ready yet. Or interest rates seem high. Girl, if I have had this conversation once, I've had it 100 times in the last year about interest rates. A year ago, people, we were dealing with clients that were willing to pay on the upwards of $250,000 over list price to just get the house, to just get in. Now let's be more realistic for a first-time home buyer and say $50,000 over, mm-hmm, okay? $50,000 over to lock in at a lower rate. Right now, interest rates are still historically low.
Yeah.
Definitely higher than they were a year ago. No two ways about it. You don't get as much house for your mortgage today that as you did last year, except for one thing: you're not paying over list price right now.
So true.
In very few cases are we having to pay $50,000, $60,000, $100,000, $250,000 over list price. So if I told you that you could buy the house for less today, $50,000, $60,000 less today, and refinance your mortgage in a year when the interest rates come down, why is that not a no-brainer? It is a no-brainer.
Gosh, you are, well, yes, that's the perfect way to explain it.
Buy a house. You know, yeah. I'm getting ready to lock in at a much higher rate when I find my next rental. And I'm willing to do that knowing, and I say much higher because when you are a second, third, when you have several houses, you have to put a little bit more down as an investor and your interest rate's a little bit higher. And I'm going to happily do it.
Right.
I'm going to happily do it knowing that in a year or two or three, when interest rates resolve again and come down, that I can refinance.
Yep. It's so true. And you can only negotiate your purchase price once, but your rate is something you can always, you know, change later on if rates drop.
Yeah. Not to mention doing a shorter arm. You know, I'm sure you've had people on to talk about, you know, you don't have to lock into a 30-year mortgage. In fact, I don't know anybody. None of my clients have stayed in the house 30 years.
Yeah, no.
I think my advice would be, can you say shit or get off the pot? No.
Yeah, you can. We said shit already. I think it's okay.
Go ahead and buy a house. So it's not your forever home. Guess what? It's not, newsflash, it's not your forever home. It's so likely true. Not. It's your first home. So yeah. Go buy it and, you know, get in while you can when it's a better market for the buyers and sell that, whether it's in a year, two, three, when interest rates come down, refinance, you have so many more options because real estate is freedom.
Amen. I'm bowing to you because I agree. Everything you just said, couldn't have said it better myself. Yes. Amen.
Thanks, lady.
And you're just like a living testimony of that. Like you took that risk and now look where you are now. I mean, it's amazing. So I think that's so encouraging for people to hear. For those of you listening, you are so lucky that you just got to hear from Courtney Wilson. I'm so lucky that I got to hear from Courtney Wilson. If you are in Nashville and you need a realtor, you can hit up Courtney and her team. They're absolutely incredible. It's the Courtney Wilson Group, right?
Yes, it is. Thanks, girl.
Yes. You can follow her on her Instagram. You can watch her on HGTV, on Hulu. What's the name of the show again? My pregnancy brain is so bad.
Yep. Making It Home with Courtney and Kenny is the current show on Hulu.
Awesome. But she's been on other shows as well, so you can check her out. And Courtney, thank you so much for being
thank
my
you.
Guest.
I love
be
you.
Be my guest. Be my guest.
My guest. Could I
this to the test? I love you. Can we grab wine soon?
No. You can't drink wine. But I'll drink wine.
I'll have Coca-Cola or something maybe good for me. I'm so sad I can't come to your wedding. I will probably be popping out a child. But as soon as you get home from your wedding, you're going to come over and hug said child.
For sure.
Okay, great.
Love you.
Stay tuned for more episodes from the How to Buy a House class. You can follow us on Instagram. We're at the How to Buy a House class. You can also email us. Yes, we still use email and we would love to connect to you that way as well. You can reach us directly at hello@howtobuyahouseclass.com. And I also would love to connect with you. My Instagram handle is @JessLouRandolph. And we hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening and God bless you.